I want to talk about faith to grow by. I seemed appropriate the first Sunday of the new year that we should talk about faith. It's faith that pleases the Lord. That's what pleases Him. So let's just pray together. We get the mind of the Spirit here today. Lord, thank you that we can be here together. Thank you for your word. And we pray that you'd speak to us, that we'd make some progression here today, that we would advance, that we would, Lord, be led further along the path. I pray that our faith will be strengthened even here this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you. Come, Holy Spirit, now, and touch my heart and our lips and my lips and, Lord, our ears, that we would hear what we're supposed to hear. And we pray it in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Lots of stuff in there that you could go in many different directions. But this verse, chapter 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I am being perfected. You are being perfected. So that our faith would be strong. If anything is going to grow, and I'll mention this over and over again, if anything is going to grow, it must be your faith. That's what must grow. We hope that your weight doesn't grow by much. We hope that your beard doesn't grow by much. There's lots of things that we could say are growing. But the thing that matters is that this would be a year where you would say, my faith has really grown. And God will honor that, and together we'll say, we've been on, a faith journey. We've been on a journey of faith, and it's increasing. And we want to go further along. And so, Lord, take us further than we've ever been before, that our faith would be pleasing to the Lord, and it would be, lack of a better word, just that it would be enlarged. Enlarge my faith. That I would be a man of faith, and you would be a man of faith and a woman of faith. That we would be known as a church that has faith. I think that's important to the Lord as well. So that we look to Jesus, the founder, who gave us faith to begin with. We wouldn't be saved without that. And the perfecter. And so even as we would go through the sermon here today, just to say, Lord, perfect me. Perfect me. Make me wherever I am, shape me and mold me, that my faith would be strong in you. There's two passages of Scripture that I found quite intriguing. One is found in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. And I've joked about this because the younger generation, if you've got a King James Bible, it really sounds different. But he simply says this, thus far has the Lord helped us. What a great verse to look back over this year. Thus far has the Lord helped me. I raise, and if you have a King James, it says, and here I raise my Ebenezer. You want to see Ibrahim? My what? It's strange. I raise my Ebenezer. There's a hymn that we sing, come thou fount of every blessing. Well, one of those verses is, come thou fount of every blessing. Here I raise my Ebenezer. And what was an Ebenezer? Well, it was, for lack of a better word, it was his stone of help. That because he looks back and he sees all of the things that God has led him on. So now he's able to say, here I raise my Ebenezer. Here I raise this stone that every time I walk by, I will remember that's the place where God looked after me, and I'll never forget how he led me and guided me and directed me. I raise my stone, I raise my Ebenezer, my rock of help. Everybody, when I think of that, I like to roll a big boulder onto my lawn, except for my neighbor. She wouldn't make me like that here today. But just say, why? What's that big stone? That stone is a reminder that God is in charge and God is in control and all things are well with him. It's a blessing to know that we can look back. But look back this year. You realize that most of the things that you worried about never came to pass. Think of the hundreds and thousands of hours you worried and I worried. What about that? How's that going to work? How's that going to work? How's that going to work? Oh, I hope that works out fine. Oh, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. And I look back. Praise God. Right? Praise God. We've come this far by faith, leaning on His arm, leaning on the arm of the Lord. And every, you know, those challenges, those things that you prayed and we said, yeah, we have to pray. And we look back. God directed us all these months, individually and collectively. And so now we've got another opportunity. And I know that we'll be able to say, hitherto has the Lord helped me. I raised my Ebenezer. I raised this rock of offense that I will never forget that thus far the Lord has helped us. And we have every reason. This is what and faith says, and He will lead us all this year. That's what faith says. We thank God He's led us that far, but now the year ahead, we will say the same thing. There's a second passage of Scripture that's found in Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to turn to that. Genesis chapter 22. Chapter 22, verse 8. Abraham said, God will provide for Himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. This was the offering of Isaac, where God says, sacrifice your son of all things you could ever find that somebody would ask you to do. That's what he was asked to do. And Abraham says in chapter 22, verse 8, God will provide. Well, let me pass. God will provide. God will provide. That's himself, for himself, the lamb for a burnt offering. Now, chapter 22 and verse 14. So Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That's where it comes from. The name of that place, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. And say, well, what will be provided? Whatever is needed. And whatever is needed. That's what a wonderful verse. That's a powerful verse. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. So they say, well, what about your health issues? The Lord will provide. What about this financial? The Lord will provide. What about this? The Lord will provide. What if we need that? The Lord will provide. That's the confidence. See, faith is a confidence, if it's anything, that God is in charge. He's been our help. We look back 12 months, He's been our help. Now we look ahead, well, probably maybe we should look more than 12, but let's say 12 months we look ahead knowing that God will supply. God will supply the job, God, whatever is required, we look to Him for Him to be our complete. So on our Mount Moriah, where we're asked to sacrifice it, maybe some ideals, we say, God, You will supply according to Your riches and glory. Philippians chapter, you want to write something down, right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. My God will supply all your needs. And we believe it. We do. So here's a question. If anybody, or if we, maybe I could put it this way. If we desired one thing this next year from each of our members, what we'd wish for them, what we would want for them, if we would have had a watch night service, and we would say, this is what I want for you. This is what I desire for you more than anything else. If anyone is, we would say, I would desire for you to be in a growing relationship with Jesus. That'd be the best gift we could ever offer you as an individual, as a person. They say, that you'd have a growing relationship. In other words, not a stagnant relationship, not a 50-year-old relationship, not something happened to me once at Kettleston Camp or Moose Lake Camp or Cowichan Camp, or other camps I'm missing here, can't stop now. Whatever happened back then, praise God, that was great, that was wonderful. We can't camp back there. We have faith to believe for the future. We're not stuck in some historic stance here, but that we would wish for you that you have a growing relationship with Jesus. And so you would not just be 1 year older, but that you would be 1 year further on, that you'd be more mature next this time next year than you are now. And I pray it for myself. You know, being a pastor, it doesn't save you at all. There are many pastors that don't grow, and I don't want to be one of them. But I will be if I don't make sure that my faith would be stimulated, that I would advance in the things of the Lord. So we ask the question, if someone had a growing relationship, we ask, what part of it is growing? What part of it is growing? And I think the answer is very clear. Faith is what must grow. Faith is what grows in a growing relationship. So for 1 Samuel 7 and Genesis chapter 22, for that to occur, that you could look back and look forward, there must be a growth in that individual's confidence in God. That's what faith is about, is having confidence that God is who he said he is, and that he will provide all that's necessary. That's a very powerful place to be in your life if you find yourself there, that the goal is that you'd have a confidence in God and you would not be wavering. Wavering faith is a very, very terrible place to be in. We've all been there, and I'll talk more about that in just a couple of moments here. Faith or trust, I think that we could say that honestly, faith or trust is at the center of every healthy relationship. So if we have a healthy relationship with the Lord, then faith and trust is there. As trust goes, so does the relationship. Can we say to you, are you trusting the Lord? Have you been doing that this last year? Or have you been worried and whining and complaining and doubting and fear-filled? Because at least I can speak for myself, I want to have a healthy relationship. So my faith and my trust must reflect the confidence that I have in the Lord. As trust goes, so does the relationship. Well, here's what went wrong many years ago. Sin was introduced into the world through a choice, and this choice that they made was not to trust. Adam and Eve made a choice. Would they trust the Lord or would they not trust the Lord? And they decided not to trust the Lord. In the Garden of Eden, humanity's relationship with God was broken when Eve and Adam quit trusting. They did not trust the Lord. And it plunged the whole world into where we are today because they refused to trust the Lord. The entire Old Testament is the story of God saying, trust me. In the 39 Old Testament books and the 27 New Testament books of the Bible, for 66, if you're counting that up, 66 books, and all of those are part of the story or the theme about trusting. The theme in the Old Testament, of course, is trust me as Jehovah. The theme in Jesus' message was believe. All you who believe. Believe in me, trust me, and follow me. That's what all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right through, that's what that's about. And so the essence of Christianity is an invitation, and a wonderful invitation, to re-enter a relationship of trust with the Father. And really, if people come on the 14th, remember the date is exploring Christianity, that's really what it would be about, is an invitation to re-enter a relationship of trust. And as they hear more about this God that died for us and rose again, they hear that and maybe a little spark starts and they begin to trust. There are many people, as they come for that night, won't have any trust at all. Say, I'm not there. I'm going to go for the food, but I'm not going to necessarily believe. And we say, that's fine. There's nothing sacred here. We're just going to answer some questions. If you have any questions, so we can talk together and share together about our life journey, about this faith journey. And I thought, that's pretty exciting to see somebody come to faith. See, somebody who starts trusting God, who never trusted God before, and Christians less, they have an opportunity to do that in a safe place. That's pretty valuable. So, at the cross, sin was forgiven, And we were invited to trust. Opportunity to trust. As our trust grows, you know when you're doubting, there's an awful feeling, place to be in when you find yourself full of doubt and when you're not trusting God. But as our trust grows, as our confidence in God grows, as he or she matures, I know there are people that we know, you know and I know, there's people that we know who trust the Lord, and they really make us thirsty. They have a phenomenal faith. Not a silly faith, not a goofy faith, but they just have a faith. They have grown in the Lord so much, they've been in the Word so much, they have gone through many, many difficulties, I mean serious difficulties, and they've come out with a strong faith, and they haven't turned away from the things of the Lord when they could have. And we admire them, and we say, wow, that woman, that man, they really have a lot of faith. They have reasons for doubting, they have reasons for not trusting, but they have not gone that road. They decided to trust God despite the difficulty. We know, don't we? We know people. This is what they've gone through, some real hardships, and they kept on their score. They were just straight ahead, and they were, well, just marvelous. It's just incredible. We admire people who make us thirsty. They have a growing faith that's inspiring to one another, to us. The Bible is full of men and women who have, as Andy Stanley says, they have big faith. Big faith. And the Bible's full of those people with big faith. These people have an extraordinary confidence in the Lord in spite of what life might throw at them. See, all of our faith this next year will be trusted. You say you trust the Lord. There will be opportunity. There always is. I will have opportunities to say, am I just flapping my gums here this morning? Or will I have an opportunity? Yes, I will have an opportunity. Life will make sure. The Lord will make sure that my faith is tested. It has to be. Faith is worthless if it's not been tested. Because people, even in the world, would say, well, that's fine. You've got this and you've got that and you've got your family and you've got lots of money. You've got this and you've got that. And so what's that? But when somebody sees people trusting for a job or for health or for a relationship, whatever it would be, it's very inspiring to see how that grows that person. This extraordinary confidence, in spite of, not because, but in spite of what life is giving you, it amazes us. And it's a self-evident statement, but God is most honored when we demonstrate faith. You want to honor the Lord? Walk in faith. And as you trust the Lord. See, the only time Jesus was ever amazed was when he saw expressions of great faith. Just think about that. Think all the times, whenever great faith was shown, Jesus was amazed, absolutely amazed. And he was amazed at little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of great. He said, I haven't seen faith, more faith in this person than anywhere else in all of Israel. Oh, it impressed, it amazed him. I wonder if Jesus would be amazed at my faith, or would he be saying, what faith? See, so the question is, how can we create a greater confidence in the person and promises of God? See, we're here together on the 4th, and it is the 4th, it's the 4th today. And our year has started, and we're all well into it. And I guess the question is, is there anything that we can do that would stimulate this thing to ensure that this is a faith-growing year? I don't want to avoid situations and life problems, I want to face them head on. And I'm sure their life will do enough to help me with that area. But God uses things to grow our faith. He has in my life. And when you are clinging on to him and you're not sure what direction that's going to go and what that report's going to give, It's an amazing thing. It's not always an easy journey, the journey of faith. You'd be prepared for that, right? It's not always an easy one. Sometimes it's been very difficult. Somebody's house caught fire. And, you know, you see the fire and there's a house burning, apartment's building. He said, and the news, this is just 2 days ago, the news said they are staying in a nearby hotel, but they're hoping they can find some accommodation somewhere. Happy New Year. See, now what's required? That's, they weren't anticipating that house, their house burning down. And now they're hoping somebody has some blankets and the Salvation Army is showing up. I thought, oh my goodness, that is a real challenge. And there's lots of things like that that happen. So what are some of the things that we can do to grow people's faith, to grow my faith, to grow your faith? I don't want to be the same spot here where, how was the year? Oh, it was a good year. Did you grow? No, I didn't grow. Why didn't you grow? Because I let doubt and fear rule my life instead of stepping out and trusting the Lord. Remember, the writer says that hitherto the Lord has helped me and the Lord will provide. So now, what is there anything that we can do? Well, I think there are some things. I think in my own heart and life, if there was things that made me grow, they were things that I look back, I'm quite encouraged with. So I just called the things that God uses to grow your faith. There could be 30 of them, but I got 3 of them. One is that in our church, for example, all of our Bible, there must be life-related Bible teaching, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's one thing for sure. You will grow, I will grow, providing I'm into the Word of God and into life-related. It's very crucial to be life-related. The purpose of all, even here today, is truth into life. If it's not practical, if it's not powerful, in other words, in its life-relatedness, in other words, we're not teaching for information. We're not so concerned as a church that you would have a lot of knowledge. You'd be just kind of smart. You know the themes of the scriptures. You know the doctrines, and you're pretty capable. That's not our goal. We're not looking for information. We're looking for transformation. That's the greater thing. What is God saying to me, and what am I required? How am I required to respond? In other words, from what it says to what it means, and from what it means to how does this apply to me? That must be every sermon you hear. You should just write it, how does this apply to me? You'd be amazed how far that takes you. How does this apply to me? I remember Larry Richards years ago, he used to say, for teachers, he would say, hook, book, look, took. In other words, hook to get that person's interest. And then what does it mean? What does it mean to me? And how should I respond? Hook, book, look, took. No, you know, I'm expecting you to remember that little catchphrase. But I am saying, it's not just a matter of saying, well, I sat under 12 hours of teaching. It has to be 12 hours of life-related teaching. It has to be truth into life. Everything we do has to impact us. It doesn't measure, well, I've got to know, if it doesn't impact us, I'm not interested in it. It must be powerful to you. You say, that's right where I was. That's exactly where I was. I can't believe that was spoken to me. And now, but even that's not enough. It's not enough to see the application. There must be a doing. He that does the will of God. Yeah, so, well, enough said about that, but what it means to, how does this apply to me? So that when you bring a friend, or I bring a friend, you say, this is really life-related. This is really where we are in our situation. And I thought, yeah, well, that would be great if that's what we could. So what are we teaching for? What are we preaching for? Life change? We're not teaching for information. Some of you know the Bible backwards, frontwards, and sideways. You know every part of it. You know what the Bible says. You are biblically literate. But that doesn't change anything, does it, though? It doesn't matter how much I know. It's how the Word of God is impacting me in my life that I can give testimony of what God is doing. So, teaching for life change. Everything in Valley Church needs to be doing that we're teaching for life change, teaching for life. It can't just be, you know, things floating around there that we know lots if it doesn't. In other words, we're more concerned that you get along with your wife or your husband than we are that you can explain all of the book of Revelation, right? Nothing wrong with the book of Revelation, but I'm saying we're more concerned about how it's going and how is this affecting your life at home? How is this changing you? Or is it just information? As interesting as it might be. And so we say, Lord, let the Word of God, because that exposure to life-relating teaching always brings a faith increase in my own life. I can vouch for that. Where I just saw what God was trying to say to me. That's number one. Number two, when people are on a faith journey, which is a good phrase, faith journey, one of the things that we need to do is to hear those stories. To hear those stories. Because I look back, I can thank God for people that have impacted me and affected me. Some were preachers. But being exposed to their journey and how they trusted God affects me. And so our fellowship and our small group, when we expose people to that, and when we hear people's faith journey, that's why we need the stories. What has God? And you say, well, this is what happened. This is what was going on in my life. And that group is, you know, in that small group, they're just there. Say, wow, well, that inspired me. They were still trusting God. So everybody's praying together and trusting together. And especially when you hear how their faith grew through that trial. Everybody, that's why this moment here is probably the weakest moment of the whole week. Because here I'm telling you about my week and what happened to me when I did this and this, when nobody else has a chance to tell their story until we're in a small group. Then you can hear about what happened and that situation and how that person left, and now we don't know if they're going to be back or not, but God's faithful and we're going to trust the Lord, right? And you see, all of a sudden people are giving their story. When I hear that, when I hear how you trusted God, knowing that your difficulty was as real as anything, or your bereavement was as real as anything, I find myself wanting to trust God too. That if you can trust God, maybe I can trust God. And thus we begin to grow. And see, who you hang around with has a great deal as they tell their story. But there's a place for telling your story. Tell us how God was faithful to you. Right? Tell that story. And you get together. That's why the sharing is all about. It's the neighbor nudging is so that we hear about, we are exposed to the stories. They're very, very crucial. And I know that when I hear testimonies like that, I'm inspired to grow. And when I hear, example, this is something, if Marcel tells me something about what he's doing with his devotions, and, you know, he's just telling what he's trying this, or he's doing this, and how that verse, how he entered. You know, guess what? When I go back to my office, I'm interested. I say, I should do something like that. And we find that we inspire each other without even trying to inspire each other. You see what I'm saying? Just be who you are, share that, and what works for you, and we'll all be growing together. And, well, we'll talk more about that. But that's the same. So number one is the teaching, the life application teaching. And secondly is to hear people's faith journey. So you know how they trusted God in the identical situation that you were in. They did something like that too. And now thirdly, to pray to the Lord and ask him to use you in somebody else's life. In other words, I remember praying. This is what I prayed. Lord, I'd been in ministry for many years, but I said, Lord, take me further than I've ever been before. I'm just yielding to you. Whatever you had in mind for me. So, Lord, any way you want to use me, fill me with your Spirit. Use me any way you can. And so I'm on this venture for this year, this wonderful adventure, and praying that God would use me. You see, most of us, we don't go far enough out. We don't go deep enough in the water to make it. You don't even need faith. But if you take on a God-sized, what would it be? A God-sized, and I'm looking for just quite the right word, something that just takes God to fulfill it. And you're a part of that. You know, so let's just say you decided you were going to go down to Costa Rica. You're going to go on a ministry team. Well, that would be a very valuable thing to do that if God was telling you to do that. And you come back and say, God really used me. Because I can remember, and I've told this story lots of times here, I can remember the very first person I led to Jesus. I was right through the ceiling. I had never done that before. Well, mind you, it was a setup. The pastor says, Owen, you know the Lord. Why don't you just pray with them and lead them to the Lord? My heart was coming right out of my ribcage. It was overwhelmingly scary. I don't know. We should get a pastor. All right, let's get a pastor. We shouldn't be fooling around with stuff like this, you know, leading people to the Savior. What are we capable of that? Can we do that? We're not ordained. You know, that's what we were thinking, right? We're not ordained. How could we? Let's get somebody. We need a pastor over here. No, there was not. No, you go ahead. Now, but I knew about the sinner's prayer, and I knew that that person was just about ready. So, well, why don't you just pray after me? And we prayed, and that person, they were crying. It was very powerful. It wasn't as powerful to them as it was to me. I flew home. I didn't even have a plane, and I flew home. I was over the moon. I saw somebody weeping their way into the kingdom of God. And God used me. Okay. When there's opportunities like that to be used of the Lord, you don't want to turn those down. Because even though you're way over your head, right? If you're honest, you're way over. You go ahead with it knowing that this is part of how it means to grow. In other words, our Christian lives and ministries need to be, like, that should be part of it. We shouldn't have to say, you know, when you can't remember the last time somebody ever got saved or somebody ever got filled with the Spirit or healed or set free in some way. Can you imagine a whole church of that? But we don't do that very often. And so that's that. But I know that wherever there's been an opportunity to trust God, or in other words, we let God to throw us into the deep end of the pool, that this is something I've never done before. I can remember the very first Sunday school class that I taught. I had never done that, ever, ever, ever. They said, oh, here's no problem, here's the book. Good luck. And this was in Charleswood in Winnipeg. I think that's where it was. I'm pretty sure that's where that was. And they said, here, it's all in the book. So guess who prayed the most? I prayed the most. Because these were junior highs. And I was supposed to teach them. And I never taught anything ever to anybody. And I was beside myself. And in a way, I couldn't wait for it to be over. Because I just, but nevertheless, there it was, this opportunity to be used of God. And I think that got me thinking and going along certain lines that affected me later quite a bit. But I persevered, and I made it through that class and got to know some of the kids' names, and I was on my way, as it were. And you could do the same. Now, not everybody maybe wants to teach junior highs, but that's just all I'm saying is that there's opportunities is that you need to be reaching beyond yourself so that God can put excitement in your heart. So you say, well, this Christian life is a really exciting thing. And it's not a boring drive. Sit on the bench until Owen finishes, you know, his sermon. But what about it if you were involved in things and you're telling us about it. Say, oh, I can't believe it. We were invited into the house, and we got talking about the Lord, and it was really wonderful. They're going to come to church on Sunday with us. We're supposed to pick them up. Oh, man, this is just great. Exactly. You know, you can go a long ways with that kind of story. First time. We didn't even know what was happening. They said, come on into the house. There we were in the house. And they're beside themselves. Exactly. Because God was guiding and directing and shaping. So, will this year, this 2015, it will be filled with challenges. I'm not prophetic. I just know I'm right on this. It'll be filled with challenges. It will be filled with tests. I find one of the tests that I've struggled with over the years is it seems to me that God doesn't always protect me as much as I would like. Why did you let that happen? How come you let that happen? And there's no answer, of course. The answer doesn't come back. I would have looked, you know, God, I would have looked after me better than you look after me. And then, of course, you know, I'm speaking utter foolishness. God says, anything else you want to say? No, I'm done. That's right, you're done. But you know what I'm saying is that it seems to me that God didn't, he's coloring outside of the lines. He's doing things that he didn't check with me. I didn't expect that to be, that was painful. It was painful. Why didn't you protect me? So there'll be circumstances, there'll be trials. There will be. But in the midst of that, to come out at the other end, where you say your faith is strong, and that is the really only thing that matters, is that your faith remains strong. That's the one thing that pleases God. Can you have doubts? Oh, you can have doubts, but you have to get rid of them, because you can't have doubt and faith at the same time. It just doesn't work. And so each of us need to exhibit what we really, big faith, a growing trust, a growing confidence, because our faith will be put to the test. And so we say, thank you, Lord, that you are the author and finisher of my faith. We are people of faith. That's how we're described, as people of faith. And we don't want to say, well, what kind of faith? Well, you want it. You don't want a stagnant faith. You want an alive, a vibrant faith that looks to the Lord. Some days. Oh, by the way, when you're discouraged, when Anita is discouraged, these are opportunities. You know, if I knew that she was discouraged, say, Anita, could I pray with you? You sounded really discouraged. Yeah, I'm really discouraged. So we gather around, right? Or we're in the cell group, wherever we are, and we pray for her, that the Lord would be her glory and the lifter of her head, right? That she would be strengthened that day. That was a, you know, it was a blow that the enemy, you know, put some arrows into her, but we were able to gather around. We can bolster each other's faith. And it's a wonderful thing when you're having a difficult time or some bad news came or whatever it would be. We have this opportunity to gather around, and it's kind of like clink, 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 all the way around, this protection as we gather. The saints are praying, Lord, keep them strong in you and the power of your might. And watch that person rise. Because, you know, when I'm down, Rex might be up. I'm trusting he will be. And when he's down, I'll be up. And we take turns lifting each other's hands, like they did with Moses, right? They lifted up his hands. As long as his hands were lifted, he could prevail. But when he got weary of it, of course, he put his hands down. So two others lifted. Much of what we do is lifting of hands. Of someone else's hands, they feel overwhelmed, just overwhelmed with life. And we come along, and in our faith, we say, Lord, thank you. We have an opportunity to put our faith to work. We have this opportunity to put our faith to work, to pray for people, to share with people. And what a journey. What a journey. Or you can just have a year of self-protection where you watch the news and worry about what's happening in the world. Right? You know, I get kind of obsessed by the news. And then I start thinking, and I get kind of worrisome about that. Well, is that Ebola this? Is it going to be that? Someone going to cut my throat in a downtown store or something? You know, you get all these things. Say, listen, there is nothing productive about that whatsoever. And you need to, don't worry about that. Just be sure that you've got it right this way, that you say, I'm going to focus on the Lord and His plan. Yes, amen. And so growing our faith for His glory. And I can, in some ways, I can hardly wait. Other ways, it's you don't have to look for trouble. God will bring you people that you can minister to and you can share with. We've got a couple of minutes here. So just, again, just your reflection. Yes, yes.
But you know, in Mark 11, it says, if we doubt, we go without an expert. But if we have faith, we receive, we believe, we receive. But interestingly, God always meets us in our doubt.
Yes.
And Owen, the word you were looking for is moment.
Yeah.
A God moment.
There it is. Thank you. That's it. A God moment. Thank you. Somebody else?
I find sometimes it helps when you're discouraged and tempted to doubt someone to recall, well, what did God do for me?
Yes.
Yeah. And you start remembering, well, He did this then, and He did this then, and that strengthens you. And that's true.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Because you go back, we have a track record. Did He fail me then? No. Will He fail me now? No. He may do it differently, but He won't fail. He cannot fail. He is the faithful one. God doesn't fail. He is always consistently the same. Amen. Somebody else. Yeah, Janice. Yes.
If I'm going to follow Him, I better keep an eye on Him so I know where He's going. That's where I'm going to go. But there's this little promise of, I've got a plan. But it's His big plan. It's not just about me. It's for Him.
Yes.
It's for His world. And I want to be part of that.
Yeah, for His, that's His world, yes. I think that... you know how Christmas and New Year's is kind of deadly on your faith because of the distractions. You're off schedule. You know, where you, in your home or wherever you hit a little place and you read and you have your prayer time and you haven't, you know, if you've had company or if you've been traveling, it's kind of one of the most non-spiritual moments. And I think it'd be really good to remember, if you're praying, to remember to pray for people around you who they need to get back in stride again. Because they've just been wiped out by Uncle Henry getting drunk and this happening and that happening and the car breaking down. And it's just a way of lifting each other up. Yes. But. Yeah, hang on to your faith, yes. Yeah, amen. Good. Thanks, Barb. Somebody else? Oh, sorry. John.
I think you mentioned being yourself. I think that's very important. The Lord shapes you. And you let Him use you being yourself. I can't believe the number of people who have touched me and they're just being themselves. They weren't putting anything on it.
Yeah, you weren't their project. You weren't their project.
And
Yeah.
That touched me, or I mean, simply being yourself.
Yeah. Amen, John. I agree with you. There's somebody else here too. Please. Was there someone else? Okay, over here. If not, we'll change the order. Please. A little louder, Joe, please. Well, the lost has been found.
That's what I call practical faith.
There's Greg. That's good, Joe. So is it Anya that has it? Yeah, that's good. Should have known that too. Let's stand. That's good. Well, in your heart, in your mind, lodge that rock of protection, that rock of help. The one who helped you this last year is the one who will help you this year. And there will be days that will be discouraging. You know, we need to, we're not into some kind of a false, I'm happy. We face things as they are, but we have a strength in the Lord. It's your resource, your rock of help. And that's the difference. People who don't know Christ do not have that. I marvel that they can even cope in some ways, but they do. They manage to cope. But that's this is the same God, and the same God who will supply. As he supplied for the sacrifice, he will supply for you, for me. So, dear Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your kindness, your goodness to us. And we, Lord, now give ourselves afresh to you. We pray that we'll strategically use us. Lord, we pray that our time alone in your word will be precious. The prayer's time will be precious. We pray, God, that we'll have opportunities to be stretched and to grow. Lord, we just commit. We know you know what's best for us. And so we give ourselves, we surrender ourselves afresh. If you'd like to use us this year, Lord, in any way you want, we are yours to be used of you, Lord, to bless this world. Not to look after what we can get, but Lord, to bless this world that needs you so badly. Use us, Lord, succinctly. And we'll thank you and praise you. And Lord, we want to tell you that we love you. Knowing you and serving you and loving you is just the very best it gets for us. So we praise you in the glorious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, work that out with the recipe. That's great. That's funny.